I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Just the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Louis Riddick will join us in about 3.5 minutes, but take it away, Lynn's first.
Thanks, Zidane. All right, so Dodgers' current DH and future ace, Shohei Ohtani, is in part famous for hitting home runs really, really hard. And guess what? He did that again Tuesday night against the Nationals.
Was that the one with the 118 velo that I mentioned during the show?
Yes, you did. You called it, like, live on the air.
Wow.
So it was actually the hardest hit ball of the 2024 season thus far, and it's actually the hardest hit ball in Dodgers franchise history since they've been doing the StatCast in the StatCast era.
Right.
So it went 450 feet, and like George said, it left the bat at 118.7 miles per hour. And everyone was talking about it on Twitter, like, as soon as they hit it. Like, did you see that? So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And he's breaking records still, even recovering from Tommy John surgery. Pretty impressive.
Nice. That is impressive. Cappy, I mean, he is, as we wait for Lindsay to grab Lou here and talk some draft with us, I mean, he has lived up to the billing at this point. The team has not necessarily done that, although they're winning today in Washington again.
Right,
in the fifth inning. But it is one of those things that, you know, at the plate, he has been a joy to watch at this point.
I just got to say, I don't know what I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Dodger uniform or if I'm paying more attention. I'm not really sure. I just can't believe how massive he is.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, when he played for the Angels, I don't know why. I just, his chest, his shoulders, just his height. I don't know, man. Did he grow like a foot? Did he put on 50 pounds? I don't know. He looks more now like Mark McGwire, like Jose Canseco, old school bombers. Like, he just looks gigantic.
Yeah, he's a monster, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty big dude. So, but yeah, the Dodgers right now up 4-2. And look, they need to start winning some series, right? So, like, I think this is very important for them to win these games against a team like the Nationals, who's like, they're like a 500-ish type team. Like, they'll be either a little above or a little below. They're not really a contender. So the Dodgers need to start figuring some stuff out. I know it's 162-game season, rather, but they're 19, now 20 games potentially into this thing with certain guys, right? Like, a guy like Gavin Lux has played, I think this is his 20th game. He's hitting 148, Cappy. Yeah. I mean, that's like, you know.
Winning this series, what's important about winning this series against the Nationals is, remember, the Nationals preceded the Mets and were in between the Padres, and the Nationals took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
So to lose that series at home, you got to win this series on the road.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, they have played 16 games. Sorry about that. Gavin Lux, though, to me, like, the bottom of that lineup is something still they have to figure out. Lux, to me, is at the crux of that, and I didn't do that on purpose. That just happened to
come out with Lux and crux?
No, that just happened, like, and then I realized, those two things rhyme. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice job.
They got to figure something out. Like, they got to just have to play Rojas there, I think, because Rojas is a light-hitting bat to begin with, but he can't be worse than 148, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, the Dodgers, we knew what happened last year when they did not go out and really deal with the shortstop position, and they relied on Gavin Lux, and then he couldn't throw the ball to first base, and then they had to move him over to second, and they had to move Mookie to short. So, I mean, yeah, it has become a problem. Is Lou around? Is Lou ready to go? Because I know he's in Detroit. And, George, I don't know that you're watching the YouTube feed right now, but I've put on the Louis Riddick jacket right now.
Yeah, he's going straight to voicemail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that we can't have that.
Yeah, you got to text your boy.
I got to text him right now.
Yeah.
I'll keep trying. Called him a minute or two early.
Maybe he's got one of those things that, like, you know, if he doesn't recognize the number, it goes straight to voicemail.
Well, I also...
Or he's got a do not disturb. He could have a do not disturb on that. You know, you don't know about that life, Cappy.
I don't know anything about do not disturb. As a matter of fact, at 5:30 a.m. this morning, my phone went, and I'm like, yo, what the hell time is it, right? And I didn't even know why my phone volume was on, you know, my ringer. But it did it again. I'm like, what is going on? Like, what breaking news could there be at 5:05 or 5:30 in the morning? And it was the Reggie Bush story earlier this morning.
Banana, banana.
All right, hold on. Lou says call me. Lou says he's ready to go.
Yeah, Lindsay just called him a second ago.
Okay, well, maybe you're right. Maybe he's worried about the number.
Tell him to get the do not disturb off.
Mm.
Come on, bro.
I'll text you our hotline number. How about that, Cappy?
Yeah, okay, that could work.
Yeah, have him call us. Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That'd just be easier, you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah,
it would be. Maybe he does have a do not disturb on, or maybe he does. Like, I do that. Like, when I don't recognize the number and it doesn't have a name, I'm like, no.
Yeah. That's you got to text me beforehand if you're calling me to come on your radio show.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, I ain't picking up no 212.
Right. And in Lindsay's case, it's probably like a 216.
Right.
And I'm calling from the studio.
Yeah, you're a 213. Yeah, over here. So, like, the only number I pick up that, the only area code I pick up for sure, and this is very inside baseball, when I, even if it's not locked in my phone, is an 860 number. Do you know why?
Not 305?
No, definitely not.
Oh.
Why? Because then Pitbull could be calling you.
No. 860, that's Bristol.
Oh, you don't want to answer that?
No, I answer that one.
Oh, you do answer that one.
If that, especially if it's an 860 number, I'm like, uh-oh. What happened now? You know what I'm saying?
All right, I have texted Lou.
Yeah, he's calling now. He's calling right now.
I have texted Lou, our caller.
That is the only number that I pick up. No questions asked as soon, okay, as my phone is ringing, all right? When my phone is ringing, Cappy, mm-hmm. as soon as I see an 860 number pop up, that's the only time I pick up a number that I don't have locked in my phone. And Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst, insider, front office insider, joins us. Lou, are you like that too, or do you send those 860 numbers from Bristol right to voicemail?
Yeah, usually, you know, I usually pick them up.
Yeah,
because you never know, man. Even though, like, every, you know, there's so many people up there who have them. I have most of the ones who, well, I know I need to talk, so I have them saved.
Yeah.
So I guess I should amend that and say, you know what? If I don't have you saved, you might be in trouble.
Hey, so speaking of in trouble, I feel like this is the time of year where if you're a top quarterback, you're in trouble because you're going to get dissected in a way you've probably never been dissected before, right? Like, you've heard how great you are for all these years, and now this is dissection season where we're going to go and find your flaws. As you looked at these quarterbacks, particularly this group of guys, what flaws stood out to you on some of these guys once you started to dive into the film that maybe, I don't know if concerned is the right word, but certainly kind of made you kind of raise your eyebrows a little bit?
Oh, look, I think, for instance, like with Drake May, you worry a little bit. I remember watching the game against Miami, and Miami has a safety named Cam Kinsett, mm-hmm. who's like fantastic as far as reading the quarterback's mail, as I like to call it. Getting a good jump on where he wants to go with the football, because Drake was very much so a guy who liked to lock in on primary and kind of throw the ball there, and Kitchens was just all over him. He was jumping the routes a full count or two before Drake was throwing it. So I was like, okay, that's one of the things. You just can't do that in the NFL. You can't lead people to where you're going. You need to be, you know, a master of deception and move people where you want to move them, by giving him false reads and then throwing the football somewhere else. And that was probably something that I saw with him that will come with experience.
What about Caleb?
Caleb, you probably want him to play. See, a lot of times people say, well, he played out of structure because his offensive line was bad. And it was. There were some instances now where the guy was absolutely running for his life right at the gate. You'd like to see him play on time, take more easy throws, be more of a point guard, be more of a distributor instead of someone who feels like every play has to be, and then every play doesn't have to be, you know, the big shot down the field, but just play more on time in rhythm. And that'll be a function of things around him being better too. But I think that's something you're going to want to see with him.
Lou, first and foremost, I want to tell you that I did a fashion show last week for George in studio.
He did.
Where I showed off your brand new gear, and I'm wearing your jacket right now, which I love, by the way. Thank you for sending.
There you go. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, man. That's big time. I appreciate it.
Oh, dude, listen, I told the guys, I go, not only is the jacket bomb, but the box that it came in was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, look, Mitchell and Ness and Pitt did such a great job with that. There were so many cool people who worked their rear end off to put all that together. I'm still kind of in awe that, you know, for 16 months we've been working on something that I pretty much kept under wraps for a while there. Because this was from, you know, thinking about it to actually having it become a reality can be a long time. And sometimes you kind of almost lose track of how much time has passed. And then you lose track of how much work has been put in. Right. They nailed it, though. It's been a great success.
It's been great. I loved seeing all the pictures last week from the spring game of you and Aaron Donald and all these young guys who are now NFL players who are rocking your gear. But, Lou, let me get back to the draft. I saw your piece on ESPN where you actually think that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the draft. Can you explain why?
Yeah, just there are things that Jaden does that are obviously, like, instinctively repeatable for him, especially when he's in the pocket, how he always seems to be on balance. His feet seem to be tied together with his upper body, moving in the right direction, great follow through, torque, snap, velocity on the throws when he needs it, accuracy, anticipation, all the kind of things that in the pocket in particular that seemed to be something that he has worked very hard on and something that he'll always be able to fall back on and rely on once he gets to the NFL level. And that every play doesn't have to be one of those where you're guessing as to what the hell he's going to do or what it's going to look like. Now, he can play that off schedule, off structure, out on the perimeter game if you want him to, but that's not where coordinators want their quarterbacks to live. They don't want them to live in that environment. They don't want every play to be a, well, hold on to your butt, let's just see what happens here. And I'm not saying that Caleb does that. I'm not saying that Caleb can't improve on his ability to play on time and in rhythm in the pocket, but Jaden already does it. And on top of it, he's a dynamic Lamar Jackson-esque runner outside the pocket who, quite honestly, as much as I love Lamar, and I really do love him, Jaden's a better thrower. He's a better passer of the football. He's a better touch. He's got better horsepower when he needs it. Better anticipation. And I just liked the kid when I was around him. He gave me vibes of C.J. Stroud when I saw him a year ago at his pro day when I got a chance to spend time around him, which really made me feel like, you know what? I know how people love Bryce Young, but I like this guy. And I like how this guy plays in the pocket. And I like how this guy is always calm with chaos around him. And how this guy can run better than you give him credit for. And he did that in the CFP playoffs against Georgia. And the reason why he did it is because he had to. Jaden runs sometimes because when he doesn't have to, but I think the fact that he doesn't have to run in order to consistently be able to stay calm and stay poised in the pocket and have repeatable throwing mechanics is what's going to make him allow him to be an absolute freaking star. Wow. And I think, you know, absent everything around him going to crap, he's going to light it up C.J. Stroud style.
Louis Riddick joining us here, ESPN NFL front office insider and analyst, of course, does NFL college football stuff for us. He'll be on the draft on ESPN. I guess my only question about him, and you've seen him up close, you've been around him, I have not. What do you make of his body?
Nothing. Nothing at all. It's not an issue.
Okay.
He's 6'4", 210. His lower body is as thick as mine, and no one ever in my career said, well, you know, he's got a thin, skinny lower body. Remember when Jared Goff came out from Cal?
Yeah.
And there were issues about Jared being able to hold weight, whether or not his body utilized protein, and he was able to build muscle mass like other people. And there was a lot of questions between him and Carson Wentz about, well, if Jared takes a big hit in the pocket or he's outside the pocket and he keeps getting hit, he's not going to last, and he's got to be able to withstand those hits. And like I'm like, listen, I don't make a big deal out of that, because you take the wrong shot to your lower body in particular, or you land on your shoulders the wrong way, your shoulders are going to separate, your lower bodies are going to, you know, your knee's going to get ripped up. It's just it. Now, does Jaden need to protect himself better than he did? I can picture in my head numerous hits against, like, Mississippi State in particular, or Ole Miss, where he got slammed. I mean, just rocked. And at the NFL, that's going to be exacerbated times two. Yeah, he needs to knock that off. But his body, he'll get bigger up top. His lower body's just fine. I have, especially having stood right next to him, I was actually kind of surprised, like, damn, you're bigger than I thought. There's no issue. And quite the contrary, when I was around, when I was next to Bryce Young, and I'm not saying this is a detriment to him or will be a detriment, he played 1 year. But I also remember standing next to him and going, oof, you're small. This is a little quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's skinny. I'm saying he's little. And that bothered me. So I've got none of that being around Jaden Daniels. Absolutely nothing. And I have zero concern about it.
Lewis Riddick, let me ask you this. Because the story of the draft is obviously going to be all these quarterbacks. And, you know, what's going to happen with the third pick? And then where might J.J. McCarthy go? And then when will Michael Penix come off the board? Is Bo Nix a first round? I mean, that's going to be the storyline. But, Lou, we're going to be focused tomorrow when we're broadcasting from Hennessy's in Hermosa Beach. We're going to be focused on the Rams. They've got 11 picks. What do you think the Rams should do? Either should they trade up? Should they pick? If they do pick, what position? Just give me a little bit of analysis on what you think the Rams should do.
Look, I think what you wind up doing there as far as do you utilize a combination of picks to move yourself into position to get someone has to do with whether or not, you know, the 35, 40 guys ideally that you may feel as though could be members of your football team, whether or not they're starting to, some of those guys, especially who you have at the top of your board, are coming off the board too fast, and you start feeling like, man, we're going to be left with nobody here, and we really do want a guy. Do we need to make a move and move up? Do we need? Can we still sit here and be patient? Or are things just moving so quickly to where we can't find a trade partner to move up? Maybe we can find one to move down, pick up more picks, and pick later. I guess what I'm saying is, one, they're going to be flexible. And unless you're picking in, you know, at the very top of the draft, you really don't know what's going to fall to you. Like, this isn't the same kind of situation as it is for New England and Washington and, you know, the Cardinals and the Chargers. And it's just not the same. So you have to be flexible with that. What should they do? Like, I think you continue in L.A. to make sure that you have game wreckers on the defensive side of the football. You try to get someone who can come off the edge, who can rush the passer. You see if you can continue to, or once again, find someone who could be a dominant inside force. I think on the offensive side of the football, you know, you hear some speculation, and I can understand why, about, hey, do you start taking a look at the quarterback position depending upon who's still available when you're picking? Is that something that they could wind up doing too? How much longer is Matthew Stafford going to play? So I think there's a bunch of different things that are on the table for a team like that. And one of those being a quarterback spot that could really kind of like add some juice into the draft was, if you think about the Rams kind of jumping up there, not jumping up, but winding up taking a quarterback high in the draft, but it would make total sense.
What do you make of Mike Tannenbaum, our colleague, saying Penix could be a good fit there?
Yeah, you know what? It does make sense. It does. Look, Michael has had a fantastic career, an absolutely fantastic career. I think the movement stuff that Sean did with Jared, I don't think they didn't do quite as much movement with the quarterback with Matthew. You know, Michael really is a true traditional pocket passer, although he has much more athleticism than people give him credit for. And I think he will be able to utilize that and change launch points in the NFL and throw the football from different spots behind the line of scrimmage, much more so than maybe he even did at Washington. And I think he, given the horsepower he has in his arm, his football IQ, I saw it down at the Senior Bowl, how Sean likes to coach, how much I respect Sean, the type of offense that they run, play action, passing game, that's all right up Michael Penix's alley.
I love it. It would be fun if they did take that, take a player like that, a quarterback. You know, Stafford has, for those that are listening just now, Lewis Riddick is here with us. Matthew Stafford, no guaranteed money after this season, so it'll be an interesting decision potentially in that spot. Lewis Riddick, you're the man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
for joining
you,
us.
Lou.
Of course, dudes. All right, I'll see you.
All right, see ya. Have a good one. Lewis Riddick on the coverage of our NFL draft on ESPN television. You'll be able to catch him there, of course, and he's Cappy's boy.
Georgie, look at, I know you're not watching the YouTube feed right now, but everybody who's in the YouTube feed, how freaking bomb is this jacket. And DeAndre,
I've seen it in person. So
DeAndre,
it's happening.
I kind of use the word clean when it comes to this jacket. Can you feel me on that?
Well, I feel you on that.
It's clean.
That is the proper way to say it for that type of jacket.
Yeah.
Clean.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Yeah. This thing is clean AF is what it is.
All right, Cappy. So thanks to Lewis Riddick for joining us there. All right, Cappy, here's the deal. We've done a lot of our football talk. We're going to have, let's wrap up our football conversation in a brief segment on the other side, because there's some stuff I thought Lewis said that made some sense in regards to the Penix conversation we were having. So I'm now curious to see if you agree with me, because he kind of could see it potentially. I want to see if you change your tune, right? In the next segment. So let's do that. Then you and I, we're going deep dive into
us
the Lakers
together.
We did a deep dive Lakers yesterday.
Right.
We're going deep again. Deep. Okay.
Okay. I'm down.
All right. So we'll do that after Radio Tinder. We got a quick segment coming up. We'll recap what we talked about with Lewis. Thanks to Lewis again for joining us. But first, Cappy, let me tell you about NextGen, the official AC heat and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. That's right, just like you. NextGen's the absolute best in the biz with thousands of five-star reviews online to prove it. But you don't need those five-star reviews. I mean, they're helpful, but here's the review you need. Me and Pepe Mantilla, all right? When I had a drain situation going on, I called them because they've got this deal, all right, with a drain cleaning and a camera inspection for only $44. And you can get that if you tell them I sent you, right? Dude, they fixed my drain in like 2.7 seconds and I was good to go. Okay. Pepe Mantilla had a big plumbing problem. Like, I'm talking about big plumbing problem. Bigger than what Cappy deals with. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he's got his plumbing issues, you know what I mean? Different kind of plumbing issues, but you get the point. Pepe had a big problem, and everybody was trying to rip him off. You know who came in and took care of him the right way? NextGen. And they'll do the same for you, because right now, you can get a 28-point full heat and AC safety inspection and tune-up for your AC system for only $44, okay? Limited time through the end of the month. I already told you about the drain cleaning. If you got a slow drain, a drain cleaning and camera inspection for only $44. So what are you waiting for? You got problems with your AC heat or plumbing? Call NextGen at 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN. So say goodbye to your AC heat and plumbing problems. Call NextGen. They're the only ones you need to know, the only name you need to remember for a safe and comfy home. Call them at 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN, or visit them online at nextgenaaronplumbing.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Yeah.
Thanks to Lewis Riddick for joining us a second ago. So, Cappy,
yep.
It sounds like he wasn't against a Michael Penix to the Rams situation, like Mike Tannenbaum, our colleague, said on ESPN on Get Up and for Lindsay's sake on the Riz Show. And then he says, I could see it. Like, it does make some sense just based on the way they want to play and the style of player he is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think what Lewis said at the beginning was, when we asked him, you know, what should the Rams do, his first instinct was to say load up on defense.
Oh, sure.
And I agree with that. But but the other part of what he said was, hey, look, you got to be flexible. When you're drafting in the first round at number 19, you don't know who might fall to you.
Correct.
And you don't know who's going to be available based on what you had as your best 30 or 40 guys on your board. So if Michael Penix were to somehow miraculously fall to 19, that's not a bad place to take him.
Yeah. Un milagro.
But the question is, do you want to trade up to go get him?
No, I think if he falls to you, that's different.
Yeah. The one thing Lewis talked about, though, I thought was kind of interesting was this Drake May thing. Because, you know, everybody said...
Well, he's the by far the youngest of the quarterbacks. He's only 20 years old, you know?
No, I actually did not know that he was only 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, Caleb has been the consensus number one. It seems like Jaden has been the consensus number two. And then Drake May is, you know, I think everybody's number three. But I'll tell you, George... I've been kind of calling around and, you know, talking to people this week.
You're doing journalism?
I don't know if I'd call it journalism much as I just want some opinions.
Like it.
Nah,
yeah.
It's kind of like just trying to figure out, you know, who's next. Is it Drake May? Is it J.J. McCarthy?
You workshopping?
Is it Michael Penix? Yeah. So here's the thing. The one thing I keep hearing about is Lewis talked about how North Carolina was playing Miami and Drake May was kind of zoned in on a guy.
Yeah.
The thing I hear is he's got this weird throwing motion where it's almost like he stretches his arm all the way out and his elbow is like completely straight. Like his arm is completely straight. The elbow, there's no bend at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like throwing the ball, like telegraphing it like it's a javelin. And that split second difference is the difference between a DB, you know, with a pass breakup or even an interception.
Well, I think what I would say to you in that regard, you know, and I've talked to Chip Lindsey, his offensive coordinator, because I had them a couple times, right? And I think that the way they look, he raved about the kid, right? As far as like work ethic and willingness to learn and understanding that he's still very young, right? Again, he's only 20 years old. Jaden Daniels is 23 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams is 22 years old. So there's more to this stuff, you know, in regards to I've got an alarm alert in my house, which is not good.
So maybe it's the dog.
You may need to take take the wheels here. But anyway, they know that like he's not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. So a lot of the people that I've talked to NFL wise believe he would be okay. Like he would be best suited, like either sitting for a few games, maybe even a year if necessary, kind of like Patrick Mahomes, right? Or Aaron Rodgers did for several years. Or going to a place, for example, like Minnesota, who's looking to trade up, because Minnesota has all those ingredients we talked about earlier about with Michael Penix, right? A head coach who you know very well, right? Who was a former quarterback in not only in college, but in the NFL for a brief amount of time. Mm-hmm. They have an offensive-friendly system as well. And they've got a quarterback there that they can use as a bit of a bridge in Sam Darnold. So I think Minnesota would be a great place for him because he doesn't have to get thrusted in right away. Oh, and by the way, they got a number one pick at quarterback, or a number one overall, a number one type receiver as well.
Yeah, I guess in talking to a scout that I spoke to today, he said that the throwing motion of Drake May is just, it's just a little bit odd and probably not something that can be fixed. And this guy told me that he'd gone through quarterbacks that were that had kind of what he called funky motions, and he picked out Trevor Lawrence, Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, EJ Manuel and Sam Darnold. Now, how's that for a collection of guys that he said have funky throwing motions? And he said that's kind of the thing, is that of that group, Trevor Lawrence, you're still not sure about. I mean, you think he's going to be a star. Russell Wilson had his time, certainly. And the other guys, you know, had never really materialized. And, you know, again, he kind of looked at Drake May as being in that category of a quarterback. So,
well, George is... You know, he's handling his alarm stuff, Cappy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Well, if I could see what was going on in the studio, just keep the video rolling of George's seat,
can
and then this way
him?
I will know that. Yeah, now
okay.
I can see it all perfectly. Right. All right, let me do this. While George is dealing with the alarm thing, let me tell everybody, because we got Radio Tinder coming up. Hey, listen, let me talk to everybody about Avner Gatt here for just one quick minute. Okay, Avner Gatt is a public insurance adjuster who is on your side. And here's what I mean by that. If you are doing all the right things, like you are paying your homeowner's insurance every single month like you're supposed to, and then all of a sudden you have some emergency in your house, a toilet overflow, a broken pipe, something that creates a big giant mess that's going to be very expensive, okay? As Avner said to us on the radio in studio about a week and a half ago, don't call your homeowner's insurance first. Call Avner Gatt first, because then Avner Gatt will go to work on doing the deal with your homeowner's insurance. Because I'll tell you something right now, and I've been through this situation. When you have a big mess and you've got to deal with your homeowner's insurance, you can try and negotiate with them. But if they're going to try and undercut you, hey, look, this is $100,000 to fix my house and they want to give you $25,000, you can try and negotiate with the homeowner's insurance company yourself, but Avner Gatt takes care of business. And I always say it like this. Nobody, and I mean nobody, messes with Avner Gatt. He's got all the five-star reviews, Google, Yelp, Better Business Bureau, that tells you that he's been incredibly successful for all of his clients. So here's what I want you to do. Remember this phone number, 818-917-5256. 818-917-5256. Or you can just use the website, avnergatt.com, A-V-N-E-R-G-A-T, avnergatt.com. When you call Avner Gatt, and I'm giving you his phone number, he is going to answer the phone, and he is going to take care of business for you. Call Avner Gatt. He's going to answer, hello.
Thanks, Christopher. I'm just jamming out a little bit here. By the way, if anyone wants to know, George's alarm thing is false alarm.
Yeah, it was. So basically, my wife opened the door of the garage. Mm-hmm. The alarm, she, you know, goes off like it normally does. So she put in the code, went back to the car, and then realized the alarm was then going off, like for real.
Oh, no.
When she went back, she realized that the keypad had lost touch with the base station because it's like a cellular thing. And so she had to get on her phone and do it. And by then, the company was calling me, so that's why I was on the phone. And yeah, it was a pain in the ass. But luckily, thankfully, that's a great result, you know?
Yeah.
It all worked out. They called me because there was something going on that seemed weird.
Right.
And everything was fine. So there you go.
Now you know that your alarm company is awesome and it works.
Yeah.
When I hear that song you just played, all I think of is I think of George Lopez, though. You know?
It was his birthday.
What about Cheech and Chong, though?
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I think about George Lopez. Medley Wang.
Yeah, there you go.
Medley Wang.
Yeah.
What's up, George? My man. You know he listens every day.
Yeah, happy belated birthday, too.
George follows me on Twitter, man.
Well, he listens to the show every day. He's a big Sedano and Cap guy.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Big Sedano and Cap guy.
You have to take that anytime Cap says anything like that with a grain of salt.
What do you mean, grain of salt? What does that mean?
Following George is one thing, but saying that he listens to the show every day.
Well,
I don't know about every day, but I'm sure he does. He's a big fan of the station.
Right. Huge fan of the station, number one. Number two, I don't know.
He's a monster sports fan.
And George Lopez has a very big time background in radio.
Yeah.
You know, he spent a lot of time in radio and mm-hmm. found out the hard way. It is a cutthroat kind of business. So shout out to George Lopez. And Billy Wang.
Yeah. Go ahead, Linz.
Oh, nothing worse than the horse.
By the way, we're going to do some Laker talk coming up. We're going to deep dive. Cappy, I've done some investigative reporting.
Okay. All right. Some journalism today. Nice.
Yeah. Not really. I just listen to a lot of podcasts. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, the same thing. All right. So we've heard about people using ChatGPT to do everything.
Yeah. And by the way, that rap. That diss track that they did on Mason and I. DeAndre, that was the whitest diss track I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you know why? I didn't hear it.
That's because they should have put into the ChatGPT, yo, you want it to be a white guy or a brother? You know what I'm saying?
Right, DeAndre, you were giving me like, nah, I ain't good.
It was not it, man.
It was not it.
ChatGPT for middle-aged white guys trying to do diss tracks. That's what it was.
Did he read it or did he rap it?
Oh, no, he read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Lynn. Sorry.
So, like you guys were saying, John Ireland is one of the people who kind of, you know, shed light on the idea of using ChatGPT to write love letters like he did. And now people are using it for everything to even write their wedding vows. And many are now relying on AI and ChatGPT to plan their weddings altogether. Mm. Couples pay thousands of dollars for wedding planners. Some people pay like $10,000, $20,000 or more to plan their wedding. But now they can save thousands by using ChatGPT to create wedding websites, write their vows, manage budgets, and schedule anything that you want from like catering, cake tasting, any type of duties that you need to do for your wedding. So instead of having you guys swipe left or swipe right, can you think of any like everyday tasks that you would consider using AI or ChatGPT for?
No, I've never used it and I don't plan on using it unless I don't have any intentions on it at the moment, you know?
I also must admit that while people use the phrase ChatGPT all the time, I just go with it like as if I know what the deal is, but I've never used it. I wouldn't know.
Well, I know what it is. I've seen it before, but I've never actually utilized it.
Right. I know what it is. But like if I said to you, hey, go use ChatGPT, where would you go?
Well, you just Google ChatGPT.
Right. But I'm saying like, is it ChatGPT.com? Yeah. I really like I've not used it. Yeah. Now, I got this letter from an accounting service and it was this beautifully, beautifully written letter. And I was like, wow, this is a really thoughtful letter. And I actually called the guy and I said, hey, man, I said, hey, this is a great letter you wrote. I really appreciate this letter. And he goes, yeah, ChatGPT wrote it. I'm like, you're like kidding me.
It takes away the authenticity and the emotion of it, though, now.
But I thought it was authentic, and I thought it was emotional and sweet.
Yeah.
Very human.
But it wasn't. It was artificial intelligence.
Right.
Yeah.
My brother, who has, when he was recently, like, you know, kind of on the job hunt, he was telling me how much he hates writing cover letters. And I was like, I feel like that's like not really a thing anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong because I haven't like job searched in a while. But I remember when I used to apply for jobs, anyone who wanted a cover letter, I'd be like, nope, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. Read my resume, whatever. And my brother said the same thing. And I was like, why don't you try using like a ChatGPT for it? And he told me as soon as he started doing that to write the cover letters, he started getting a ton more calls.
Now, that's very interesting because my three children, I told them all, these are my college age kids. I said, hey, make sure you write a cover letter and send your resume. They all had the exact same cover letter because they all put it into ChatGPT.
That's hilarious.
No, but what you do is, Liz, so I was talking to him about it. He said that you put your, because I asked him about it, like his job search and everything. And he's like, yeah, you can go on this website and you put in the job description and you upload your resume and it puts the two things together and it makes a custom cover letter. It's not just insane. A generic one.
That's insane. Yeah, this was a year ago. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, speaking of computers.
Wait, real quick. I want to tell people Radio Tuner is presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala.
All right, so speaking of technology, computers, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure you guys are all familiar with CAPTCHAs, which stands for Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart. I had no idea that's what it stood for, but that's
I'm
the
not
acronym.
Familiar with it.
CAPTCHAs is basically, it shows a scramble of letters or numbers for users to, you know, write back, whether it's the images where you view them and you have to, like, the crosswalks, the cats, the cars, those type of things. And you have to select that object to make sure that you're actually a human and not a robot.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Wall Street Journal, the anti-bot puzzles are getting more weird and difficult. And that's because the advancement of technology, robots, and AI. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you ever struggle to solve the CAPTCHAs when you're online? Because I do all the time.
Dude, I will swipe right on this. I struggle in a big way.
What's so hard? Sometimes there's like letters that look like numbers. Maybe that, like every once in a while.
That, or like if they give you like six or nine boxes, and they're like, okay, so click
Where's the traffic light? Yeah.
Well, they're right. Yeah. Click all the boxes that have a traffic light. And then sometimes you look at it and you're like, I can't really tell. Does that one have a trap? Kind of looks like, do they mean this? And I struggle with that all the time.
The traffic light ones are the worst, I think. I'm with you on that one. Have you guys ever seen the ones where they're like super complicated? It'll be like a simple picture of like a rabbit and it'll be sideways and it'll say like, turn until the rabbit is facing facing up properly or sitting up properly. I'm like, what is this?
I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
Always.
Or the one where you have to slide the puzzle piece into the puzzle, and if you don't do it within so many seconds, it's like failed.
Yeah.
Those are hard too.
They are hard.
I'm not a fan of those.
Life is hard, Lindsay.
Yeah, it is. I hate those things. They're so stupid.
Mm.
So yeah, that's Radio Tinder.
That's it?
I did three of them, didn't I?
I feel like there was only two of them.
Didn't I?
All right. That is, we had to go. I mean, we're kind of behind. You know what I'm saying? You and I are going to dive in deep into the Lakers situation. Because I think, Cappy, that when you think of the Lakers situation right now, when they're trailing the Denver Nuggets 2-0, coming back home, I think there's a lot riding on tomorrow's game in regards to not just the series, but the future of this team. So let's get into that a little bit in a second. But first, let me tell you about my home away from home. LAX at Los Angeles International Airport. Changes are arriving daily to reduce traffic, save travelers time, and transform the travel experience. The LAX economy parking structure now open with thousands of smart parking spaces, as well as hundreds of EV charging stations. Modernized terminals have biometric gates for faster boarding. Who doesn't want to get to their flight faster? And a new facility for your friends and family who come to visit will all their major rental car brands under one roof. So, man, what a future that's going to be. And the future will continue with the People Mover train. Lindsay mentioned it the other day. It will connect travelers to LA Metro, including all the terminals and the rental car facility, et cetera. But the LA Metro part is huge because you don't even need to take your car to get to LAX at that point. They got that metro station right there on Century. So at LAX, changes arriving daily to reduce traffic, save guests time, and transform the travel experience. So for more information, go to their website, flylax.com/transform. Transforming LAX. That's flylax.com/transforming LAX.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks, Christopher. I'm just jamming out a little bit here. By the way, if anyone wants to know, George's alarm thing is false alarm.
Yeah, it was. So basically, my wife opened the door of the garage. Mm-hmm. The alarm, she goes off like it normally does. So she put in the code, went back to the car, and then realized the alarm was then going off, like for real.
Oh, no.
When she went back, she realized that the keypad had lost touch with the base station because it's like a cellular thing. And so she had to get on her phone and do it. And by then, the company was calling me, so that's why I was on the phone. And yeah, it was a pain in the ass. But luckily, thankfully, that's a great result, you know?
Yeah.
It all worked out. They called me because there was something going on that seemed weird,
right.
And everything was fine. So there you go.
Now you know that your alarm company is awesome and it works.
Yeah.
When I hear that song you just played, all I think of is I think of George Lopez, though. You know,
it was his birthday.
What about Cheech and Chong, though?
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I think about George Lopez. Bethany Wang.
Yeah, there you go.
Bethany Wang.
Yeah.
What's up, George? My man. You know he listens every day.
Yeah, happy belated birthday, too.
George follows me on Twitter, man.
Well, he listens to the show every day. He's a big Sedano and Cap guy.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Big Sedano and Cap guy.
You have to take that anytime Cap says anything like that with a grain of salt.
What do you mean, grain of salt? What does that mean?
Following George is one thing, but saying that he listens to the show every day.
Well,
I don't know about every day, but I'm sure he does. He's a big fan of the station.
Right. Huge fan of the station, number one. Number two, I don't know if
he's a monster sports fan.
And George Lopez has a very big time background in radio.
Yeah.
You know, he spent a lot of time in radio and mm-hmm. found out the hard way. It is a cutthroat kind of business. So shout out to George Lopez. And Bethany Wang.
Yeah. Go ahead, Linz.
Oh, nothing worse than the horse.
By the way, we'll do some Laker talk coming up. We're going to deep dive. Cappy, I've done some investigative reporting.
Okay. All right. Some journalism today. Nice.
Yeah. Not really. I just listen to a lot of podcasts. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay, hey, the same thing. All right. So we've heard about people using ChatGPT to do everything.
Yeah. And by the way, that rap, that diss track that they did on Mason and I,
was
DeAndre, that was the whitest diss track I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you know why? I didn't
hear
it.
That's because they should have put into the ChatGPT, yo, you want it to be a white guy or a brother? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, right, DeAndre, you were giving me like, nah, I ain't good.
It was not it, man.
It was not it.
ChatGPT for middle-aged white guys trying to do diss tracks. That's what it was.
Did he read it or did he rap it?
Oh, no, he read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Linz. Sorry.
So, like you guys were saying, John Ireland is one of the people who kind of, you know, shed light on the idea of using ChatGPT to write love letters like he did. And now people are using it for everything, to even write their wedding vows. And many are now relying on AI and ChatGPT to plan their weddings altogether.
Mm.
Couples pay thousands of dollars for wedding planners. Some people pay like $10,000, $20,000 or more to plan their wedding. But now they can save thousands by using ChatGPT to create wedding websites, write their vows, manage budgets, and schedule anything that you want, from like catering, cake tasting, any type of duties that you need to do for your wedding. So instead of having you guys swipe left or swipe right, can you think of any like everyday tasks that you would consider using AI or ChatGPT for?
No, I've never used it, and I don't plan on using it unless I, you know, at least not, I don't have any intentions on it at the moment, you know?
I also must admit that while people use the phrase ChatGPT all the time, I just go with it like as if I know what the deal is, but I've never used it. I wouldn't know.
Well, I know what it is. I've seen it before, but I've never actually utilized it.
Right. I know what it is. But like if I said to you, hey, go use ChatGPT, where would you go?
Well, you just Google ChatGPT.
Right. But I'm saying, like, is it ChatGPT.com? Yeah. I've not used it. Yeah. Now, I got this letter from an accounting service, and it was this beautifully, beautifully written letter. And I was like, wow, this is a really thoughtful letter. And I actually called the guy and I said, hey, man. I said, hey, this is a great letter you wrote. I really appreciate this letter. And he goes, yeah, ChatGPT wrote it. I'm like, you're like kidding me.
It takes away the authenticity and the emotion of it, though, now.
But yet I thought it was authentic and I thought it was emotional and sweet.
Yeah.
Very human.
But it wasn't. It was artificial intelligence.
Right.
Yeah.
My brother, who has... when he was recently, like, you know, kind of on the job hunt, he was telling me how much he hates writing cover letters. And I was like, I feel like that's like not really a thing anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong because I haven't like job searched in a while. But I remember when I used to apply for jobs, anyone who wanted a cover letter, I'd be like, nope, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. Read my resume, whatever. And my brother said the same thing. And I was like, why don't you try using like a ChatGPT for it? And he told me as soon as he started doing that to write the cover letters, he started getting a ton more calls.
Now, that's very interesting because my three children, I told them all, these are my college age kids, I said, hey, make sure you write a cover letter and send your resume. They all had the exact same cover letter because they all put it into ChatGPT.
That's hilarious.
No, but what you do is, Liz, so I was talking to him about it. He said that you put your, because I asked him about it, like his job search and everything, and he's like, yeah, you can go on this website and you put in the job description and you upload your resume. And it puts the two things together, and it makes a custom cover letter. It's not just a generic one.
That's insane. Yeah, this was a year ago. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, speaking of computers.
Wait, real quick. I want to tell people Radio Tuner is presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala.
All right, so speaking of technology, computers, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure you guys are all familiar with CAPTCHAs, which stands for Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart. I had no idea that's what it stood for, but that's
I'm not familiar with it.
CAPTCHAs is basically, it shows a scramble of letters or numbers for users to, you know, write back, whether it's the images where you view them and you have to, like, the crosswalks, the cats, the cars, those type of things. And you have to select that object to make sure that you're actually a human and not a robot.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Wall Street Journal, the anti-bot puzzles are getting more weird and difficult. And that's because the advancement of technology, robots, and AI. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you ever struggle to solve the CAPTCHAs when you're online? Because I do all the time.
Dude, I will swipe right on this. I struggle in a big way.
What's so hard? Sometimes there's like letters that look like numbers. Maybe that, like every once in a while.
That, or like if they give you like six or nine boxes, and they're like, okay, so click
Where's the traffic light?
Yeah. Well, they're right. Click all the boxes that have a traffic light. And then sometimes you look at it and you're like, I can't really tell. Does that one have a trap? Kind of looks like, do they mean this? And I struggle with that all the time.
The traffic light ones are the worst, I think. I'm with you on that one. Have you guys ever seen the ones where they're like super complicated? It'll be like a simple picture of like a rabbit and it'll be sideways and it'll say like, turn until the rabbit is facing up properly or sitting up properly. I'm like, what is this?
I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
Always.
Or the one where you have to slide the puzzle piece into the puzzle, and if you don't do it within so many seconds, it's like failed.
Yeah.
Those are hard too.
They are hard.
I'm not a fan of those.
Life is hard, Lindsay.
Yeah, it is. I hate those things. They're so stupid.
Mm.
So yeah, that's Radio Tinder.
That's it?
I did three of them, didn't I?
I feel like there was only two of them.
Didn't I?
All right. That is, we had to go. I mean, we're kind of behind. You know what I'm saying? You and I are going to dive in deep into the Lakers situation. Because I think, Cappy, that when you think of the Lakers situation right now, when they're trailing the Denver Nuggets 2-0, coming back home, you know, look, I think there's a lot riding on tomorrow's game in regards to not just the series, but the future of this team. So let's get into that a little bit in a second. But first, let me tell you about my home away from home. LAX at Los Angeles International Airport. Changes are arriving daily to reduce traffic, save travelers time, and transform the travel experience. The LAX economy parking structure, now open with thousands of smart parking spaces, as well as hundreds of EV charging stations. Modernized terminals have biometric gates for faster boarding. Who doesn't want to get to their flight faster? And a new facility for your friends and family who come to visit will all their major rental car brands under one roof. So, man, what a future that's going to be. And the future will continue with the People Mover train. Lindsay mentioned it the other day. It will connect travelers to LA Metro, including all the terminals and the rental car facility, etc. But the LA Metro part is huge because you don't even need to take your car to get to LAX at that point. They got that metro station right there on Century. So at LAX, changes arriving daily to reduce traffic, save guests time, and transform the travel experience. So for more information, go to their website, flylax.com/transforming LAX. That's flylax.com/transforming LAX.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah.
Come on, Hov. Let's go.
Yo, DeAndre.
Some way, Cappy.
Yo, DeAndre, you ever hear of Jay-Z?
Come on, man.
Come on, DeAndre. You ain't never heard of no Jay-Z.
You don't know about no Jay-Z, man.
Man, you ain't know nothing about no Jay-Z.
You don't know nothing about Jay-Z, man.
I know a lot about Jay-Z. I've seen Jay-Z up close and personal.
What's the name of this song?
The Hood. That's what we call it. That's the abbreviated name. That's what we call it. You know what I'm saying? What do you call it?
Somehow.
Nah, some man, ain't nobody call it.
I mean,
somehow.
He literally says somehow, some way, like 7,000 times in this
song. But that's not what the real name of the song. Nah, man. Nah, yeah, you ain't know nothing about no Jay-Z.
Cap, I got to put you in the rap game, man.
I am in the rap game.
If you're going to create this diss track, you gotta hear these different types of beats, man. You got to, you know, feel the rhythm and all that, man.
I feel the rhythm.
Of the
I
night?
Live the rhythm. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you were going to do El DeBarge again.
No, I'm not doing El DeBarge. Yeah.
So, Cappy.
Yep.
Lots of future situations riding on tomorrow's game, okay?
Oh, big time.
When it comes to this Los Angeles Lakers team. They lose tomorrow, and it's basically, I mean, it's over. Like, you know what I mean? Like, historically, It's a wrap, right? Like, again, someone's going to do it at some point. I just don't think it's this team against that team. You know
what
I mean?
That's the problem. That's exactly
right. Yeah. So just so you know, historically, the Lakers down 0-2 are 2-20, okay? But for modern references, let's not use like Minneapolis and all that stuff. Since 1984, okay, 1-12 in those scenarios. The only win 20 years ago in a five-game series.
Against San Antonio, right?
San Antonio, right.
Right, I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, hey, listen, since you're going to talk history, think about it from the Denver perspective. Denver has never lost a best of seven series when they've been up two games to none.
Correct.
Never. They're 7-0.
Yeah.
And that's some deep research right there is what that is.
That is deep research, Kevin.
So, look, I think your point is right on, though, George, and that is that if they lose tomorrow night, and just by the way, just so you know, I think they're going to win tomorrow night. I actually think the Lakers are going to win tomorrow night.
Okay.
They are. They're going to win, Cappy.
Because and listen.
They better.
Right.
You got
it. If they don't win, the series is dead. I mean, it's over. Game, set, match. If they do win, then they've put themselves in a position to theoretically come back, win the next game, and now you've got the series tied. Now, is that extending the inevitable, or is that really giving yourself a chance to win this series? If you can take two straight games from Denver, you've changed a lot of the dynamics of the series, and you've changed the mentality of both teams. Right now, Denver is a team that thinks they can't lose. And right now, the Lakers are a team.
They've won how many straight?
10 straight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Denver is like, they can't beat us. And the Lakers, probably in their minds, are like, I don't know what else we can do. We can't beat these guys.
Right. But here's the difference. Like, Michael Malone, like, he's not, I mean, he's confident in his team, but he's not going to let his team get overconfident. Like, he is, if they do, let's say the Lakers do win one game, Denver's going to come back, I think, and throttle them in game four. Like, I don't think they're capable of winning back-to-back games against this team.
Well, again, the numbers agree with you because they have lost 10 straight games. And so this Laker team versus that Denver team,
they're just better.
Right.
Like, they're better. Listen, their five is better. Okay. Their coach is better. Their front office is better. They're better.
Their bench is better.
I mean, it was yesterday.
Did you know that the Lakers bench has contributed just 17 points?
It's been terrible.
Series.
Yeah, I know. But on paper, the Lakers, that's the one advantage. Like, that's an advantage they should have, but it has not manifested itself during the series. But you are right. No, they are better across the board. Correct.
Right. But get back to the point, though. The point is that if the Lakers were to lose tomorrow night, I got us off track by telling you I think they're actually going to win. If the Lakers lose the game tomorrow
night, the reckoning will happen at that point. I think.
Right.
Like, so we're going to start having those conversations.
Right. If they were to lose tomorrow night, there's no way they're going to win game four. And the reason I say there's no way they're going to win game four is because everybody on the Lakers will know it is inevitable. We're going to get beaten. And there's no reason for us to get back on a plane and fly to Denver to take a beating in front of their home crowd. We might as well just pack it up right here. So if they don't win tomorrow night, this series is over. Officially dead on arrival. It's over. So, George, here's the big question that I think Jeannie Buss has to ask herself if the Lakers get swept in this playoff series, okay? Even if they lose in five games, I think she still has to ask herself this question. How much more of the LeBron business do we want to be in? Because he's getting older. He's not getting better, even though he had an amazing season. We as a team are not getting better with him on the roster. So how much longer are we going to do this? Are we going to sacrifice the future to be in the LeBron business today? Which, by the way, I could tell you could make financial sense. But you've got to start at some point contemplating what life will be like after LeBron, because it's a year or two away.
I mean, it depends on what the contract situation looks like if he does stick around. And I think he will. I think it's more likely that is the case.
Can I ask you a question, NBA insider George Sedano?
Yeah.
Is it more likely that, you know, obviously the two sides need to come to an agreement, but do you think, to Cappy's point, saying do the Lakers want to stay in the LeBron business, does LeBron want to stay in the Lakers business?
Very
Is that
good,
like a foregone
very
conclusion?
Good question. Very good question.
Is that like, that's a for sure 100% or at least even 95%?
I would have thought, I'm going to answer before George. I would have thought LeBron was 100% going to come back to the Lakers. However,
I think it's most likely that's
okay,
the case.
I would agree. However, let's just say they get swept, or let's say they lose in five. LeBron's going to look at the reality of the situation and say, we, the Lakers, cannot beat the Nuggets.
Right.
Where can I find a place where I can make one more run at a championship? And I think that he might consider where that place might be, and I could see him possibly going somewhere else.
Look, I don't rule it out. Again, as you know, I'm not an absolutist, Cappy.
So. I've been told you're not an absolutist. That's really a nice thing. I mean, it's good flexibility by you.
Yeah, I don't rule any of that stuff out. So I would say that. But I do think it's interesting because we've heard LeBron. And we do think there will be changes. I think there'll be changes. And perhaps across the board, potentially, not just players, not just the staff. Like, I think there's going to be a long, hard look. There needs to be, at least, if they do get swept again. And we've heard LeBron glowingly talk about his previous coaches at times, right? Whether it's Ty Lue or Eric Spoelstra. He even praised Rajon Rondo not too long ago as a guy who should be a head coach. We've not heard a ton about that with Darvin Ham. Most recently on the podcast that he does with J.J. Redick, he's made some comments about his previous head coach or one of his previous head coaches that I don't think get done in a vacuum just based on the timing of when these things are done, right? So I want you to listen to some of these comments and we can extrapolate what we want from there, as we've done in the past when he's made comments, glowing comments about his previous head coaches. So
now, are we extrapolating right now, or are we extrapolating at the top of the hour?
At the top of the hour, because right now you need to tell folks about the California Cryobank.
Because, listen, I want to extrapolate. Let me tell you something right now. The California Cryobank, let's talk about this for a second. I've told you that what they're looking for at the California Cryobank is young, healthy men between the ages of 19 and 38 to become sperm donors. Why? Because there are so many people out there that actually cannot have children for whatever reason it may be. It's not as easy as just, you know what you do, and then all of a sudden a baby comes. It's not that simple. Okay. There are a lot of people out there who want to have children, who can't have children, and they need sperm donors. Now, when the cryobank came to us, my first question was, okay, look, how much money can the guys who listen to our show make? And when they told me it was $1,500 a month being a sperm donor, I'm like, sign me up. I'll tell everybody about it, because food, gas, rent, life is very expensive right now. And if I told you, dude, you could make an extra $1,500 a month doing what you're doing in the privacy of your own home by yourself anyway, and you can be a sperm donor, dude, make that money. Okay, make that money. Apply at spermbank.com, S-P-E-R-M, spermbank.com. By the way, I say apply, it is not some automatic guarantee. I had a listener hit me up, showed me the letter, he got denied. He doesn't understand it. Why? I'm 28 years old, I'm good looking, I'm in good shape. What's the problem? I don't know. Okay, you have to apply. Apply at spermbank.com.